Hello, I'm Doyle Davidson, a servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering locally to the body of Christ in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, sent by God to you. Well, I welcome you to this broadcast. Well, I bless you in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Spare thy people, Lord, give not thine heritage to reproach, the heathen run over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Spare thy people, Lord, give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Spare thy people, Lord, give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Father, I praise, bless you, worship you, magnify your name. Thank you for Lisa. Thank you for John. Thank you for John's friend. Father, I praise you. Now bless your name. Now magnify you. Glorify you. Praise your name. Thank you for kings, presidents, governors, and judges, for making fools out of judges. Father, I praise and bless you and worship you. Thank you for the peace of Jerusalem. Give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I have struggled the last 72 hours, I guess last Friday, was out riding on the bike trail, going over some things, and God started reminding me of something that I heard years back. And it pertained to God with Joshua holding the earth still for about a day, and with Isaiah and Hezekiah turning the earth back 10 degrees. And I heard this years ago. I heard someone speak it, that this happened, and that actually was why in the New Testament, when you hear about the death, burial, and resurrection, there seems to be a time span that you can't give account for. And I said, if God is specific about his word, if God tells Moses to be sure and build the tabernacle according to what he explained to him on the mount, that surely God is precise about the gospel. You religious people amaze me. I don't know how you went to church and called it God, frankly. But you didn't have a teacher, but you were still religious. You know that? I'm going to tell you, some people just like to be religious. And obviously God made you that way. He didn't make me that way, and I'm happy. So I've been struggling a lot because God has been talking to me. And I've been thinking this day a bit while I was having lunch. I was speaking some about this, and I don't have it all settled, not at all. And God will make sure that he settles. But I want to talk about a prophet. And I want to talk about his words. And I want to speak his words. And he's not a prophet that I ever heard of. Never heard of the man till the early 1970s. And his name is Elihu. He spoke some of the most profound words I ever heard spoken in my life. And he spoke them to some that God calls. He spoke to one, Job, that God said there were only three that if he put a sword into the land of Israel, there were only three that their righteousness would deliver them. One of them was Noah. One of them was Job, and one of them was Daniel. I thought that's an incredible thing. that God says these three men's righteousness. If I put a sword into the land of Israel, these three have the righteousness that will deliver them, but it will not deliver their families just then. I thought, these are three very powerful men of faith. You find them in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. You don't find any of us there, right? We don't find any of your seminary professors there, nor university professors, nor any preacher that has stood in a pulpit the last 2,000 years. I thought, it's incredible that this prophet would speak to Job. It got my attention. I thought, what in the world do you have to be to speak God's word, the one that he tells to? Not one that thinks they're cool. One that thinks they're righteous. So, it's been a profound thing in my life. So we're going to read some of this, talk about it. But Job had problems, a lot of it. Lost 10 kids, lost all of his animals, all of his dwellings, his barns, stables, whatever he called them. And because God permitted the devil to take him, attack him, and God told the devil, spare his life. Spare his life. You can touch his body, but spare his life. Now I know you religious, self-righteous people that tried to raise me are so darn righteous in your own eyes that Job is old time. Well, he may be, but he's not too old for God to know. You're just too silly to think you're righteous. You're like Kenneth Hagin Jr. that said, in Africa, people that are born again might have demons, but not in America because we have universities. Well, Kenneth Hagin revealed his ignorance when he talked about universities. I happen to have a couple degrees from one. Amen. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about what a lie you had to say. Amen. So, Job 31, 32, verse 1. Job had three men. They were real religious. They are ones that I've met. You bet they are. They have had many things to say to me. What a wicked man I am. What a wicked man. What an evil man that I am. I don't bother with that. That doesn't bother me at all. But I will tell you what God said. He said, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. But verily, he hath heard you. He has attended to the voice of your prayer. Psalm 66. So you see, I don't care how wicked you are. I already know. How do you know? Read the Bible. Well, no, you don't know how good I am. I know how good you aren't. I know how stupid you are thinking you're good. It's hard to believe that God could do this. So we better go on. Verse 1, Job 32. These three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Isn't that amazing? Then was kindled the wrath of Eliab. And I'm going to jump this because I don't have time to read all this. Eliab, the son of Berekah, the Buzite, and the kindred of Ram against Job was his wrath kindled because he justified himself rather than God. Elihu, did you know your problem is simple? I've been there. You justify yourself and not God. God can do what he wants to with you anytime. But you're righteous in your own eyes. Righteous in your own eyes. Now, also against his three friends was Elihu's wrath kindled because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. You know, in the past years, especially the past 5 years, I've been condemned by many, guess what? And yet none of them had an answer for me. Not one. Condemned by many. I was praying the other day, just worshiping God, and God started talking to me about the cross of Jesus, and it says in his humiliation, he was taken from judgment. And God started talking to me about how I'd been humiliated by the press, religious people attacking me, saying all kinds of wicked things, condemning me. And guess what? Yet I was taken from judgment. Then judge me. God didn't judge me. Y'all were wrong, every one of you. And God's given you a chance to come to repentance. So I thought, well, you better know it's been humiliating that God let it happen. All kinds of things hit me, took place, and all of them were started by the wife that God gave me. The wife that God gave me. You say, no, I'll bet she never comes home. Well, go ahead and bet and lose, because God will bring her home. It doesn't matter if he has to put a hook in her wicked jaw and drag her home. God will bring Lisa home. Ladies, get it straight. God can do without you in the earth today. He's got enough kids to populate the earth. Get this straight. You're not the big important thing you think you are. So you're mad. Oh, probably am. I like it. Now, in verse 4, now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. All of them older. You know, I've listened to one preacher after another all my life. I never listened to anybody younger. I listen to older. Why? Well, they're supposed to know something. So I'd listen to them. When a young one came along, you know, I'd just think about it, and I'd know what the scripture said. Don't listen to a novice. A novice. You know why? Because novices get puffed up in pride and taken snare by the devil. And that's the charismatic movement. A bunch of novices. Now, let's go on. Amen. And so in verse 5, when Elihu saw there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. Elihu, let me just say, I've listened to every preacher that's anything in America, and I can see none of them have an answer. None of them. None. Many of them are dead or dying. They had no answer. Now finally, one day, it's been years back, I sent out 5 books to 36 preachers that are on television or pulpit preachers. Most of them were TV preachers. I sent them out, plus 5 books to them all, plus a whole host of others I sent out. And the letters I received back from them were absurd. They were ridiculous. It's like they couldn't read. And I read them. And only Oral Roberts professed to me on a postcard that I think he probably typed, that he appreciated the boldness that I spoke with, the talent that God had given me. I don't know if Oral still appreciates that or not. He's still alive. perhaps God will give him a chance to see if he appreciates it. The other one was Jamie Buckingham. Jamie Buckingham sent me a letter 9 months after I sent my books. And Jamie said, "Brother Doyle, I've been trying to read your books." And I'm sure he was trying. He was dying. You know, men will do strange things when they're dying. They'll even read books of someone they never heard of. And he said, "I've been trying to read them. And I want you to know that you sent them to me in the Father's name. And I receive them in the Father's name." And just a few days later, he died. So that was the sum total of what I heard from all these preachers that are present, television, pulpit personalities, and so forth today. They moved me not. So about 12:30 in the morning, 1993, I woke up about 12:30, and I was considering these letters, how these people responded to what I sent them, and my letter, and my books. And I was considering, and I thought, how can these people be so irresponsible? How could anybody, any person, be such intellectually dishonest as these people? Well, I'm serious. Intellectually dishonest. And as I was thinking, God said to me, "Is there not a cause?" I said, "Yeah, I know who said that. I know who said that." When Jesse, David's father, in the flesh, sent him to check on his brethren, his brothers. And when he got there, Israel was defied by one man, Goliath. And all of Israel was afraid. All of Israel was afraid of Goliath. And David's brothers were rebuking him, telling him how prideful he was, and so forth. And David said, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" And when God said that to me, I knew what God was saying. This bunch of preachers are a bunch of Goliaths. They defy the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They withstand the body of Christ in the world. They got the body of Christ paralyzed. And God said, "Is there not a cause?" I thought about it for 2 or 3 minutes, and I said, "There's a cause. There's a cause." It's been hell ever since. And worse, but I didn't go to hell. So, these wicked preachers walk in the same spirit that Goliath walked in, witchcraft. And that's what you walked in. That's what I walked in. But God's great mercy on my life and on you, and his great grace, granted me the mercy and grace to be delivered, to become a minister of righteousness to the world. Amen. So here we are. Amen. Now, in verse 6, I love verse 6. "And Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, answered and said, 'I'm young and you are very old.'" I like that. I do. These preachers are very old. They at least act it. Amen. "I'm young. Thank God. Wherefore I was afraid and does not show you mine opinion. I thought, my God, as many preachers as we have in America and in the world, and all these big church buildings and ministries, television stations, all these networks that they own, should they not know something about God? Well, they don't. But I'm here now boldly to tell them so. And I have been. Have been received, that's for sure. But do I care? God is speaking, not me. So he said, verse 7, I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. Notice it says should. Should speak and should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man. But there's a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. There's a spirit of man. And the inspiration thereof giveth them understanding. You find in Proverbs 20:27, that the spirit of a man is a candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts of the belly. Like you said, there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty, Jehovah, inspires their spirit, gives them understanding, not universities, not searching the internet, my God. So, verse 9, great men are not, and the people that produced this Bible, they had to add a word, not always wise. Elihu didn't say that. Great men are not wise. You know, it helped me tremendously. 1972, I suppose, when I read this, maybe one, I'm not sure. Great men are not always. That's the way you read it. Why? Because you think you might be great. God says great men are not wise. None of them. I said, well, I think I've proven that to myself. Amen. Great men are not wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. That's for darn sure. But you know, most of you hypocrites grew up when somebody had been hanging around church about 30, 40 years, they're mature. Mature what? Mature nuts. They haven't changed. They can't. They don't have a revelation of the gospel. I grew up with them, thank God. I loved them too. That's more than you did. And I didn't care what they said to me. I loved them. I had the heart that they didn't. Now, great men are not wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Therefore I said, hearken to me. Oh, I love this. I also will show mine opinion. Behold, I wait for your words. I give ear to your reasons. Gave ear to your reasons. While you search out what to say. Yea, I attended unto you. Behold, there was none of you that convinced Job, or that answered his words. Lest you should say, we have found out wisdom. God thrusteth him down and not men. Job, God thrust him down. That's what it says. And not man. Now he hath not directed his words against me, neither will I answer him with your speeches. They were amazed. They answered no more, and left off speaking. When I had waited, for they spoke not, but stood still, and answered no more, I said, I will answer also my part. I also will show my opinion. For I'm full of matter. Full of matter. Words. That's what he's saying. I'm full of words. The spirit within me constraineth me. Behold, my belly is as wine, which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak. I may be refreshed. I'll open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person. God taught me, not you. Don't accept any man's person. Neither let me give flattering titles unto man. That would be rare for you, wouldn't it? For I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my maker will soon take me away. You say, are you through? No. We're just warming up. I am. I don't know what you're doing. Verse 1 of chapter 33. Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches and hearken to all my words. Can you imagine a prophet talking to Job that way? Can you imagine me talking to you that way? Are you a Job? Did you know God doesn't regard one thing about you? He has no respect for your flesh, not a bit, and he doesn't care who you are. And I don't either. Amen. It's cooler down there. Amen. Wherefore, Job, I pray thee hear my speeches, hearken to all my words. Behold, now I've opened my mouth, my tongue has spoken in my mouth. My words shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. The Spirit of God hath made me, just like he did me. And the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. I'm the same way as Elihu. If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me, stand up. Behold, I'm according to thy wish in God's stead. Says, I'm according to God's mouth. Hebrew. I also am formed out of the clay. He was humble enough to know that he had the mouth of God. But he's made of clay. You don't. Now, yo, my terror shall not make thee afraid. He's talking to Job. Shall not make thee afraid. Neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. You need to humble yourself. God is talking to a bunch of you people. Surely thou hast spoken in my hearing. You know what says in Hebrew? Surely thou hast spoken in my ear. And I've heard the voice of thy words saying. And you know, you people think you're sharp, that you're righteous. Did you know when God wants a prophet to hear what you're saying, you're speaking right into his ear? The prophets. You see, God knows all this stuff. It's time you humble yourself. Now, so he's talking, Elijah's speaking by the Spirit of God to Job. He said, and I've heard the voice of thy word say, I'm clean without transgression. Could that be you? That's my wife. That's the wife God gave me. I'm clean without transgression. I'm innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. Oh, Lisa, you think God's not talking to you, you wicked woman? If you think he's not talking to a bunch of other wicked people, that you're so clean, and so innocent. And don't be bothered. This is the way God spoke to Job by Elijah. Now, I'm innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasions against me. He counteth me for his enemy. He put my feet in stocks. He marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. He's talking to Job. You're not just. Because Job wasn't happy what God had done to him. Thank God. I'll answer thee that God is greater than man. So how long have you been hearing these words? About 37 years. Not only hearing them, they've been talking to me. Amen. Says, behold, in this, not just, verse 12, I'll answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him, for he giveth not account of any of his matters? Let me tell all you wicked people, God does not have to give one account to any of you that he gave Lisa to me as my wife. He doesn't have to explain anything to any of you. He doesn't have to give an account of it. He'll just let you go on and act like a fool. Amen. Now, verse 14, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep fell upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he opened the ears of men and sealed their instruction. Then he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. I think that's all I want to read, but I want to tell you something. Not apparently. I obviously stood in the presence of an angel in a vision as he spoke to me back in the early 1970s. When I spent 3 years trying to disprove the New Testament. 3 years. I wasn't trying to prove it was, get knowledge. I was trying to disprove it. Because I never saw it work in a person's life. Never. Not one. Hypocrites by the millions. And I thought, I don't have time for this book. Nor the one that supposedly that it's written about. And I tried for 3 years to disprove the New Testament. And one day I decided it wasn't right, that it was accurate, the book of the Bible. I'll talk about this later. I've talked about it before. What's remarkable, I had forgotten that I had a man in a small room with all men standing behind a pulpit explaining what I considered to be one day missing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I thought, this doesn't add up. If this death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is not accurate in the Bible, then if my intellect understands anything, then the whole Bible is a lie. If they can't even get it accurate, when he died, was buried, and rose again, how could they get anything else accurate? How do I even know there's a heaven? How do I know there's a hell? Live it up, Doyle. I had the capabilities, and I had them. But God, in a dream, in a vision, explained to me about Joshua when they were at war, taking the land of Canaan. And the earth stood, a sun and moon, earth stood still for about a day. And God turned back for Hezekiah through the mouth of Isaiah, the earth by 10 degrees. And God put that in my heart. And I can recall in this vision, it has to be a vision, because I cannot place myself with any people except that person standing behind that pulpit, and I was seated right over there watching him. And I can't explain anything else. And I've been doing my best. Obviously, that was a vision. And God preached the gospel to me. An angel preached the gospel to me in a vision. That should not shock you. God preached the gospel to Abraham. In a way, I can understand now. And I explained earlier broadcast this week about that, what is it, 20? I talked that long? Good Lord. I explain all of this as much as I'm going to right now. Let's just worship God. But I can tell you, God preached the gospel to me through an angel. Amen. Now I'm almost comfortable. Amen.
Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise in the spirit and with understanding. We'll magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise in the spirit and with understanding. Spirit and with understanding, we'll magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise in the spirit and with understanding. Spirit of heaviness. praise in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise in the spirit and with understanding. Spirit and with understanding, oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise in the spirit and with understanding, oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Spirit and with understanding, oh, magnify the Lord, and for the ring of the Lord shall return. Hang on the singing of the Zion, an everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Therefore, the ring of the Lord shall return. Hang on the singing of the Zion. Everlasting joy shall be upon their head.